Safety, I think.
Yeah, and then Ciatric Faison, fourth round.
Yeah, I mean,
running back CJ Mosley. Yeah. He's still in the league, I think, isn't he?
I think he is. Yeah,
I want to say played with Detroit. And then Adrian Ward, cornerback. I mean, just the worst draft possible, and that's why you wrote the article. 2005 draft warns Vikings of reaching for need at 105theticket.com. What are you worried about going into this draft, Chris Schaap?
Personally, I'm just worried that that Rick Spielman will take a guy that might be a little bit outside of the box. I think that cornerback is definitely one of those areas where the Vikings could probably get by with Xavier Rhodes, Terrence Newman, and Captain Munnerlyn as their top three corners. But I think that really the Vikings need to determine who's the best player available when it comes to 11. I mean, they did take Anthony Barr last year, but if Randy Gregory, who has been falling down draft boards supposedly because of a failed drug test, falls to them at 11, I think they have to pull the trigger. Or even though they added Mike Wallace, I think adding Devontae Parker would be Charles, or even Doriel Green Beckham from Oklahoma, would be a nice pick as well. Just to add insurance for Charles Johnson, because he burst onto the scene late last year, and I know the coaches are really high on him, but he's kind of a shaky. He was on a practice squad at the beginning of last year, so I think you need insurance in that point, and just taking the best available player is going to help this team by leaps and bounds.
So you're saying even a defensive tackle, right? If need be.
Defensive tackle wouldn't hurt. I mean,
you've just woken the beast, Chris Schaap. The one position that we both agree on, especially the superstar, he just threw something at the wall, by the way. Defensive tackle is the least of the Minnesota Vikings' worries when you have so many gaping holes at linebacker, cornerback, and the offensive line, particularly that left guard spot. Who knows what's going to happen with Adrian Peterson, but defensive tackle, we're four deep with guys that are pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a point. I mean, the middle of the line is kind of a strength for the Vikings. Defensive tackle is probably not the right thing. I don't want Morris, breaking down my doors here.
I'm going to, but I'm going to. So trust me, I'll be down there. And no, here's the thing. I mean, here's the fun thing about it. The whole thing about the draft is they can say that it was a player of need, or they can say when they draft that it was the best player available. You know how the game goes. I mean, well, that's funny enough. We need him. And the way we saw it back in the war room was that was the best player we could see on the board at the time. So they spin it however they want. It's whoever you think and whoever you want to be the need and the best player available. Now, for me anyway, if you have the one or two top offensive linemen sitting there still at 11, because I don't think my guy Trey Waynes is going to be available, I think you got to pick up a great player for that offensive line. I'm a firm believer in it. And I'll tell you, Jerry Jones went back to the mill and started working on not just skill positions. He went back to rebuild what was their strength back in the early 90s and most of the 90s, and he rebuilt the offensive line, and we saw what that did last year. I mean, that's exactly what we need to do with Bridgewater.
If you remember right, the Cowboys reached on Travis Frederick, who was a center from Wisconsin, and everybody thought that he was a day two or day three pick, and he turned out to be he's one of the best centers in the league. It was an awesome pick. Even last year, people were screaming for the Cowboys to draft Johnny Manziel with Tony Romo's back going haywire, and they go and get Zach Martin, a guard slash tackle. I think helping the offensive line would be a great idea. I know there's guards later in the draft. Laken Tomlinson out of Duke is one. A.J. McCann from South Carolina is another. But I mean, if Brandon Scherff falls to the Vikings at 11, which I don't think he'll be there, that would be a great pick over a wide receiver, or even if Waynes is on the board, it wouldn't be a bad idea to take Scherff or La'el Collins or just somebody to help that line to make sure Teddy Bridgewater isn't flat on his back for half the season again.
Most NFL draft people are saying Brandon Scherff now is probably likely to be taken number 9.
Giants.
Yeah, number 9 by the New York Giants. But we'll see. It's a crapshoot. 22 days away from the NFL draft. Chris Schaap, your new article, 2005, the NFL draft for the Vikings, warns the Vikings of reaching for need. And thank God, please don't do that ever again. Rick Spielman seems to have his hand on things the last couple of drafts. Really like what he did, especially last year. But Chris, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for your service and your citizenship. don't necessarily know that I would say I'm proud of your citizenship as of yet, because you made the superstar a little angry today.
That's right.
Ripped his shirt just by flexing his muscles, but we'll try again next week. Thanks, Chris.
That's right. So drop that whole notion about a defensive tackle, Shad, or you'll be the hanging Shad.
I like that. I could use that as a wrestling name. I'll have to keep that in the memory bank.
There you go, buddy.
Nicely
done. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks for coming on, bud. Next up, you know him, you love him.
I do.
Jay-Z.
You're right.
That's one of our guys right there. I mean, we hang with Jay-Z. Jerry Zagoda, with the Star Tribune and the beat writer for the Minnesota Timberwolves. We'll be talking with Jerry Zagoda next.
From the locker room to your radio, tune in the Wake Up Call from the writers of Cold Omaha every Sunday morning at 8.
Wiggins would look great on a better team. We saw this because when this team was healthy for, what, 3 games, we noticed that Wiggins kind of fits in and that he's learning to assert himself, and that was the one big thing for him. And he's learned that he has to take over.
Forget the numbers, just eye test. Wiggins has been by far the best rookie. You might as well put a bow on it. Mail him the award now.
The Wake Up Call with Cold Omaha on Minnesota's Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket. Feel that? Radioactive Sports, 105 The Ticket.
We had a chance to just make it somewhat interesting. And as I talked to the guys after the game, I said, you know, as bad as we played, not rebounding the ball extremely well, then shooting a pretty high percentage for most of the game. Basically, it's a 3-possession game. You know, and that's what the NBA is. It boils down to 3 or 4 possessions in a game down the stretch. That's why you have to, you know, play every possession like it's important.
So true.
Yeah.
Cliff Saunders on losing to Sacramento. I think it's pretty safe to say that that's probably going to happen. Probably the entire way out now, Rubio sidelined again.
Let's hope so.
And everything else. And let's hope so, because we want Cat. And we're not going to go into that with Jerry Zagoda again, because he had to put up with that last Wednesday, right?
But we do say, Jerry Zagoda joining us now from Portland. The Timberwolves play the Portland Trailblazers, another late one, 9 o'clock tonight, FSN. But just, Jerry, just so you know, we do say the name of Jahlil Okafor because we want nothing to do with him on the Timberwolves. If he falls to us, if we get the number 2 draft pick and
pass,
and Cat
pass.
Superstar wants to pass on him now, but I think he's a decent consolation prize.
Oh, it didn't take you much to jump off the bandwagon.
Yeah, I'm done. Jerry, it only took that championship game. I'm done. I'm finished with
it. It took 2 weeks of me trying to convince him
that I'm done now, though.
Kentucky center was a much better choice, and he just would not budge. He would
go
not.
Go Cat.
And now he's on
the
side.
Are we not mentioning the other guy's name now?
Yeah, don't say Cat.
You still can't say Cat, but Okafor's fine. Say it as much as you want to. I would love to ask you a question, though. A lot of people are thinking that maybe even Tyus Jones is coming out in this draft. Is that possible? I mean, I don't see him coming out yet. Do you?
Is it possible that he comes out? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I mean, basically, out in the draft, he certainly is not a lottery pick, is he?
I don't think so, but there's probably a better chance that he does than he doesn't. I mean, I would think maybe he cashes in now. He played pretty well in the tournament. I mean, logic would say he stays for another year, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if he comes out. I think people are kind of half expecting it, all the draft picks are.
Well, I would think so, too, because the same thing I argued for Cardale Jones, the quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes, who played those 3 unbelievable games at the end of the season, the 3 biggest games probably in the history of the Ohio State football franchise. And his draft stock is never going to be higher. I would think the same thing with Tyus Jones winning the national championship, being the most outstanding player. He was the reason why Duke beat Wisconsin, in my opinion. The Kentucky Twins decided today that they're coming out in the NBA draft, which I don't see anything going on there. But I mean, it's getting tight in the standings here. The Minnesota Timberwolves have 16 wins. The New York Knicks have 15. Philadelphia at 18, still in a pretty good spot of securing the second best chance at getting the number 1 overall draft pick coming up here in the NBA lottery, but as you know, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're pretty solid in that situation. I mean, you look, are they going to win again on this road trip? Probably not. They might win 1 or 2 of the games there at home, but that only gets them to 17, and that's taking into account that, you know, Philly doesn't win again. You know, and then you watch New York, see if New York wins another 1 or 2, catches up to them or surpasses them. But, you know, I don't know, given the history of how the team with the worst record has done, getting the number 1 pick, I don't know if you really need to have that worst record. You just want to be down there. You just didn't want to be leaping up above teams for no reason, which they haven't and which they won't now.
Jerry, I want to talk to you about Rubio and why they played him at all. Really, I mean, with what he went through this season, with the kind of money they have invested in him now, with the big contract, the high ankle sprain slash bone issue, whatever it was, they put him back out there and they let him play coming down the stretch. He redid it. Was that a serious thing that happened to him, or was that as bad as it sounded?
The second time or the first time?
The second time. I mean, when they put him back out there, I'm just saying, I don't think there was any real reason for Ricky to be out there again. And with the kind of year he had and with that injury being what it was, to keep him out, let him get to an off season, let him get himself back on track and built back up, and then put him back out there. But now he's retweaked it.
Well, I mean, he wanted to play again. I mean, I don't think you were to just, you know, once he came back, I just don't think you sit him down at that point. And then at this point, and I don't know how, you know, how much of it is that they kept saying that the training staff hadn't cleared him, that it wasn't strong enough. He wanted to play. So I don't know how much of that is, you know, the ankle is really bad, or how much of it is, hey, look, we're going nowhere. There's no sense in pushing it and, with, you know, with it well in mind that, you know, he could help them win games at a time when they didn't really want to, or, you know, when they put the guys out on the court that they want to, but, with him, you know, I think it just got, my sense is just, you know, why risk it? You know, I don't know if this is a long-term thing. They're going to give him the summer to stay healthy. I don't think he's probably going to play for the Spanish team. I think he feels like he's, you know, obligated because of that $55 million to his day job. So, we'll see, you know, if they get the whole summer to just get that healthy, work on his shot, and see how it is. You hope that that kind of thing isn't chronic, you know, that you think it's recovered and you find out it isn't.
Why risk anything, really, with the last five games down the stretch here? KG shut him down for the rest of the season. I don't know why they're not making that official. We're talking to Jerry Zagoda, beat writer for the Timberwolves and the Star Tribune. I think it was you, the article that I read yesterday where they're, or maybe it was Sid Hartman. It was in the Star Tribune where they were talking about Flip Saunders possibly coaching or not coaching next year. Glenn Taylor said he wouldn't have a problem if Flip decided to come back again next year. What do you think is going to happen there? And will Flip ever step away from coaching this team? Hello.
Oh,
Jerry.
Yeah. Say again. You broke up on me.
I'm sorry. Is Flip going to coach next year, or will he ever step away from coaching this team? He seems to love it, even though they're you know, it's been a tough season.
Oh, I think someday he will, but I don't think it's going to be next year. I mean, I think you've gone through this kind of pain. I don't think he just gives it up. I think he wants to be around for some of the payoff to see what happens. Unless, you know, he could get one of the guys that he went after last year and couldn't get, you know, unless Tom Izzo said, hey, I changed my mind. You know, I want to give the NBA a try, or maybe a guy like Hoiberg. But, you know, I guess the other option would be just to promote Sam Mitchell, which would be the easy thing. But I don't see Flip doing that. I mean, he's basically said, you know, I'm the coach until I say I'm not the coach. And I just, I think he's got too much invested in these guys just to walk away and do the one job for now.
I think so too, Jerry. I'm with you on that. And I just think that Flip is the guy that these young guys who've gotten here now, they buy into him. Why change that? Why shake it down? They've already got kind of where they want it and setting up for next year. Add to that, you know, a lottery pick. And I think you're in business with Garnett here in town, and these young guys having had as much playing time as they've had this year. But I would think that Flip would want to stay in that locker room on the court, and helping these guys, you know, nurture one more year at least, and then turning the reins over to somebody else. Change for a young team like this would be a bad thing.
Well, particularly if Garnett comes back and plays again next year. I mean, that's the whole allure, was playing for Flip. So, you know, I don't think they change it. I mean, I guess he has a relationship with Sam, and if they did that, that would probably be. And he knows Hoiberg, too, I guess, you know, if you're talking hypotheticals. But I think the thing that drew him back, a good part, was being reunited with Flip, and that's another reason why I don't see him walking away from it.
Sam Mitchell wouldn't be my first choice, but remember, he was Coach of the Year, I want to say, back in a couple of years ago with the Toronto Raptors. But we're running out of time.
Almost like 9 years ago.
Yeah. 9 years ago. It was a long time ago. But it just doesn't bring the excitement to the Timberwolves or the name recognition necessarily of being a big-time veteran coach that I think that the Timberwolves would like to have around here. Jerry Zagoda, Star Tribune beat writer for the Timberwolves, out in Portland tonight. Portland Trailblazers, Timberwolves, 9 o'clock, FSN. Thanks for joining us again, Jerry. Appreciate it.
right.
Bye-bye.
Next up, we've got the pre-Masters Power Rankings. Yes, the Masters tournament is already upon us. They'll start on Thursday. They've got the Par 3 contest. I think it started today. But anyway, that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to rank them and break down what we think is going to finally happen with Tiger Woods, also announcing that he would be back the first time he's been back on the golf course competitively since February. Let's do that next right here on Radioactive Sports.
Streaming worldwide at 105theticket.com.
I'm excited to be back. Been back playing at this level. I feel like my game is finally ready to compete at this level, at the highest level, and I'm excited to be here. There's no other tournament in the world like this. To come back to a place that I've had so many great memories at and so many great times in my life. You know, this week to go back there and relive some old times. Just bring back some great times. So I'm excited to be back competing again and really looking forward to Thursday.
This is the song I like to take a nap to on Sundays. Championship Sunday.
Perfect. So the ball's taking a terrible bounce. It ends up in an ungulation in the second cut.
Ungulation, that's a big word for you. I can't remember what hole it is, but they'd like to skip it off the water at the Masters. There's a big, huge water hazard right before one of the greens.
Amen's Corner.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
Amen Corner. It's 13, 14, 15 at the Masters. I forget which hole it is, actually, but it's...
Why aren't you talking like this? We don't want to interrupt the golfers.
Looks like he's pulled a 5-iron. He's 560 yards away. Why is he pulling a 5-iron?
I don't know.
He addresses the ball. A lot of...
Why is he addressing the ball?
Hand shaking. A lot of wiggle. Hand wiggle. Sergio Garcia. What a slap nut.
Sergio Garcia, by the way, according to Bleacher Report, our favorite website, ranked... 9th overall in the world, has the 13th best shot at winning this weekend's Masters. He's missed the cut at Augusta last year. His best finish at tie for 4th in 2004. Garcia's made a total of 11 cuts in 16 Masters.
Tiger Woods. He's a solid player. Cinderella story. Tiger Woods quitting at the
Waste Management Open.
The dumpster tournament in Phoenix, yeah. He went and crawled into a large trash can, and it wasn't seen until about a week ago when he decided he would designate his...
Tiger Woods, rated 111th in the world. He, of course, still Tiger Woods,
he'll
by
play.
The way.
Well, yeah, it is Tiger Woods. If anyone knows this course, I mean, they literally changed this course. And planted trees and cut off corners and tiger-proofed it.
Yeah, because he just crushed it.
He
four-time Masters winner, 97, 2001, 2002, 2005, totaling 13 top 10 finishes and 18 starts at Augusta. Since 2005, he's only finished outside the top 10 once at Augusta. Simply, this is a course Tiger Woods has historically owned. However, this is a new Tiger Woods, and he's got awful at golf.
Yeah. Did you ever think you would say that?
No.
I would have never said that, but he just has struggled. I mean, when you start talking about Tiger Woods in the dumpster tournament, the Waste Management tournament down in Phoenix, I think he shot an 82 and missed the cut, and off he went.
Phil Mickelson, power ranking number 11, according to Bleacher Report, rated 22nd in the world. He's won the Masters three times, 2004, 2006, 2010. He's a lefty. I love it. He's got man boobs. Missed the cut at Augusta last year, though, tied for 54th in 2013. However, he ranks number 11 in the power rankings. My favorite guy, the guy I'm rooting for, Bubba Watson, rated third in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The reigning Masters champion, also made the cut in all six of his starts at Augusta. He won 2012 as well. The guy is just hilarious. I love
him.
Yeah, it's funny.
You know the funny thing about it? No one really cares for him.
Why not?
He's a fan favorite. He's not a real popular guy on the circuit.
Probably because he doesn't talk like this.
Because he doesn't understand ungulations and five irons. It looks like he's got about a 5-iron out.
Rory McIlroy.
What about Rory? I mean...
Number two
on this list.
Yeah. He's rated number one in the world.
Yeah.
Made five cuts, six tries at Augusta. His best finish at Augusta came last year. He tied for eighth. Famously, of course, had that meltdown in the back nine on Sunday back in 2011, ultimately tying for 15th. He's exciting, though. Number one golfer in the world. And then number one The number one in the power rankings, according to Bleacher Report, who's rated number fourth in the world last year. He tied for second in his first Masters experience. How do you say his name?
I say it's Jordan Spieth.
There's no A there.
It's S-P-I-E-T-H, but I...
Spieth.
Is it Spieth?
Spieth? Spice, Spieth? I don't know. I've never heard of the guy before in my life, but he's obviously...
He was really something last year. I mean, I don't know of anyone that's hotter right now. He won the Hero World Challenge and the Valspar Championship. He recorded 7 top 10 finishes in 10 starts, though. And by the way, he finished tied for second in last year's Masters to J.B. Holmes.
The only care about the match, I love golfing, and I golf at least once a week when it's above 60 degrees outside. I love it. I love to golf. It's just watching golf on TV. It's like tennis. It's one of those things where I like to take a nap unless it's Championship Sunday and Tiger Woods has red on and he's possibly going to go for the win there. Or Bubba Watson because he's so fun to watch. Or Man Boobs. I love Man Boobs.
The big pink driver with Bubba Watson.
Big giant Man Boob Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, he's got a man rack on him. When he's come stomping down the fairway, I'll tell you what, he's got some royal rumble.
I mean, he would have some of the most beautiful breasts I've ever seen if they weren't so damn hairy around the nipple area. That doesn't do it for me. I don't like hairy nipples.
He comes thundering down the fairways. It's kind of like he's got so much man rack going there that it creates an impact tremor like in Jurassic Park.
They're called moobs.
Moobs. Anyway, we love him. And Lefty could do it. Lefty could pull it off. Who knows? I'm saying, Phil Mickelson might, he knows the course too, and he's still got game.
Oh, yeah.
Or does he?
The stuff is boobs don't get in the way. It's tough to swing. You've got massive boobs.
Well, yeah, he could end up walking on him and just crushing himself, I suppose. When we come back, we will talk a little Vikings football, as always. I like to make that one of my bits every day. And we'll talk about Mike Zimmer and what he adds to the second year, his second year as a head coach. Next.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
I'm starting to wonder if A-Rod and Lance Armstrong share the same brain. Somehow they'll always find a way to be the victim.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station. 105 The Ticket. You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
And we'll see you tomorrow night, and we'll see you in about 22 days, closer to 21 days now, the NFL draft. And if they draft, go ahead.
Trying to ask you a question.
I'm sorry.
22, what is that?
22 dwarves took turns doing handstands on the carpet.
Go ahead, make my day.
You ever see the move Bugsy with
22? Turnstile equipment. What is it? 22
dwarves.
Oh, yeah.
Took turns doing handstands on the carpet.
It happens.
Warren Beatty.
Mm-hmm.
Bugsy. In the movie.
Dick Tracy.
Nope. Well, and Dick. Yeah, he played Dick Tracy as well. Yeah. Mike Zimmer.
Yep.
We mentioned earlier in the week they were tracking apparently with high risk equations and quantifying mistakes and not going for it too often or not enough or being too conservative. We also brought up at that point that he had a brand new team, a brand new quarterback, and I'm guessing probably as much, injury laden a team as there was in the league at the time. I mean, they were just decimated with injury.
Yeah.
How are you going to play aggressive football like that? I mean, you have to just cut down mistakes, play the numbers, and hope those players are well. You got to coach them up and get them to a point where they execute and play some real football for you, because you're not in any position to be taking risks and being that guy, that kind of guy with that kind of team. We don't have that kind of team. He managed the team into a 7-game winning season. Mm. I mean, 7-9, I thought was a good job, and I think that it might have been one of the best tests I've seen in a while for a head football coach. The way he was hit from all angles with the injuries, the Adrian Peterson thing, and the young quarterback.
Mm.
And 7 wins. I still think, and probably one or two games that you and I have come up with where they could have, and they should have probably won probably two more games. The Buffalo Bills And I'm thinking maybe even the Miami Dolphin game.
Yeah.
But they didn't. And they tied the Packers. Well, the Packers beat them by three in the second game. But I can't be any happier or more enthused for the second season of Mike Zimmer here in town as the head coach.
Is it wrong of me to, obviously Adrian Peterson's coming back, or there's going to be some sort of draft compensation or something that's going to make the fans not have a giant backlash at Winter Park, and something that the Vikings can be happy with? Likely a late first-round draft pick or something. I mean, otherwise Adrian Peterson's going to be here with the Minnesota Vikings. Is it wrong of me as a fan, as somebody who covers the team and somebody wants them to do very good for Rick Spielman to just go, you know what, Mike Zimmer, your defense, you completely turned the defense around. We didn't really change much personnel, really, when it comes down to it. Yeah, you got Anthony Barr, Captain Munderland came in, Linval Joseph. We signed Everson Griffin to this big contract.
Yeah.
But the majority of the defense was still there from previous regime, Josh Robinson and Harrison Smith and Brian Robinson and blah, blah, blah. The list goes down.
Greenway had a decent nucleus, I would say, for the most part, yeah.
I want to focus on defense. I want the Vikings to focus on defense the first, second, and third round.
It wouldn't matter to me.
Stock it up. Stock up the defense.
But I'll tell you what, you better find an offensive lineman. Because if they have that kind of defense and they go three and out and Teddy gets to go out there on the football field and do something, he had better have some protection a lot better than it was last year. We get Fusco back. We get Lotholt back. Hopefully everything will go well over there on that side. We just extended John Sullivan to another year on his contract, and he deserves it.
What if you get two starters on defense, like a middle linebacker and a cornerback and a left guard in the first three rounds?
Oh, my God. Well,
that would be a dream for me.
I'm throwing a party.
Because though, and
I don't care what order you take them.
And the way Rick Spielman, Dick Springsteen, Rick Springfield, whatever we're calling him today, the way he's gone and drafted in these last couple of drafts, particularly last year, to get impact players in the draft that can come in and can play and can contribute right away, the first three rounds, cornerback, linebacker, offensive guard, preferably in that. For me, preferably in that order, but I could go in any other order. But I want Trey Waynes. I'd like Eric Kendricks. I would also like Bernardrick McKinney from Mississippi State, who could probably be had in the third round. But if Adrian Peterson's coming back, that takes away the need for a running back, and so you don't have to waste a pick on getting whether it's Tevin Coleman from Indiana or Melvin Gordon, but Todd Gurley. But if they trade Adrian Peterson away, there would likely be a chance to get a Melvin Gordon or a Todd Gurley. I'm sorry for stealing.
No. It was a good point. And I think that is the kind of direction they probably will be taking. And they're going to be basing it on a lot of different scenarios that I think are going to take place right on draft day or soon in front of the draft day itself with Adrian Peterson. I think that something is going to be is in the works. Not only by the Vikings to be on guard for any phone that would ring and have that huge offer for Adrian Peterson, but even discussions with teams already. I'm not so sure that hasn't happened.
Oh, I'm sure it
and
has.
You have to have the scenario in place for what you would say yes to, because if a team is calling and saying this, we'll do this, you have to be able to answer that right now or it's off the table probably.
Yeah.
So you have to look up for the future of the team.
So they only get 10 minutes on the clock now? It's shortened. So you got to make a quick decision. If you're on the clock, they say the Dallas Cowboys, Cleveland Browns, Jacksonville Jaguars, whoever it's going to be, Arizona Cardinals, you have to make a quick decision, and the Vikings have to know, and there would have to be some groundwork laid about what they're going to get for Adrian Peterson going into the draft and then conceal the deal, whereas Arizona would come back or Dallas would come back and say, okay, we're giving in. Here's the 27th overall pick or 25th pick.
So now you're set. You can almost get two of the ones you're talking about right now in the first round, if the Adrian Peterson deal fell through,
but then
fell into that place.
At the end of the first round would come Melvin Gordon or Todd Gurley.
Right.
I mean, that's where I still want cornerback, linebacker, guard in the first three picks. If you have that extra first-round draft pick, then boom, there goes your running back.
I don't know. It could be I would say Trey, and then I sure will be gone by that time. But, yeah, certainly, I don't know. If you had a chance, though. If you had a chance like that with an extra first-round draft choice, say at 27 where Dallas is, you don't think you would do one of those receivers? I mean, that'd be pretty stud. That'd be a stud muffin receiver. I don't know who's going to be left, White or Cooper?
No, Parker. At 27, they're gone. Gone.
All three of them?
Yeah. Maybe you get Darrell Beckham. But he's got a history of some things.
Yeah, truly.
Really don't need a wide receiver in my opinion.
I'd certainly take an offensive lineman then at that point.
Oh, well.
I would take one of the top offensive linemen. But I look, they've got everything worked out down there. I mean, that's one thing I think they do pretty well is they organize everything in their decision-making process spur of the moment. It may be a question. It may be a question from time to time what they do when that phone rings and trade up, trade down, and all the tricks. You know, maybe just draft, you know, the way you see them on the board. Just draft them and not make any trades up or down.
Yeah.
Get your value.
That's probably not going to happen knowing Rick Spielman. John from St. Paul, you have a couple of thoughts on the second and third round draft picks. Well, John, we, that's not radio roulette because we know who it is. John from St. Paul, you're on 105 The Ticket. Unfortunately, we only have about a minute left. So,
okay, I'll make it quick. Hi, superstar.
Hey.
I just want to say that you're all wrong. We need a rhino on the line. If you think Fusco is going to be a big answer for us, you're wrong. I mean, this Lyle Collins out of LSU is a rhino. You need somebody to push the other guy around. And I think the Vikings need that, and they need somebody to give Bridgewater, your favorite new quarterback, time to pass and stop doing those little dump passes to the Asiata guy and stuff. I mean, get a rhino in here and then get the Nebraska running back, Amir Abdullah. What does that guy need to do to make you love him?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's up to the scouts, of course. The scouts say everything, and so everyone buys what the scouts and the combined scouting say.
I don't think we need any help in the offensive line when it comes to run blocking.
A lot of people can run block. You pass block?
But we need pass blocking help on the left guard side, especially with what we saw from Matt Khalil last year. And if he takes another dump, we need some serious help with a guy that maybe could slide out to left tackle, which Collins could do. Great call. I appreciate that, John from St. Paul. Love your wisdom. You're a great Viking mind.
Thank you.
See you, my friend.
There he goes. I agree with him completely. I've been saying that for the whole time, and it's probably going to fall that way to us as well because the guy that I really, really love, and that being Trey Waynes, the cornerback out of Michigan State, is more than likely going to be gone. I can't see, or if Spielberg
doesn't draft the guys that the Vikings fans want him to draft, though. It's always going to be a guy like an Anthony Barr, who turned out fantastically, by the way.
Yeah.
But it's a guy that you're not expecting. And he said before the draft last year, we're going to come in and we're going to take a guy that nobody expects us to take. And that's what Rick Spielman does. He likes to be sly like that. He likes to be a fox. And he comes in, and he's done pretty well in the last couple of years. I have no complaints, really, at all.
When he landed Bridgewater, I thought it was going to go through the roof.
C.J. Mosley would have loved him. Cornerbacks or players it seems like the Baltimore Ravens always take the players that I want. Terrell Suggs, there have been that cornerback a couple of years ago. For the life of me, I can't remember his name right now, but he's been pretty good. But it's going to be somebody that you least expect.
Yeah. He did really well last year. That Barr thing, I mean, I think we all pretty much had him pegged for about the first six or seven picks. And then Bridgewater, of course. That was a great deal with the Seahawks. Come on back, everybody. Sillier side of sports. And I got a good one for you in this one. I got a pretty funny one. Yeah. And the true superstar, as always, we finished the show on the right note. And we'll do that next.
Get your Twins inside update every weekday. Hardball with Mike Berrettino of the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
Paul Molitor is not looking to skip the fifth rotation spot.
You don't really need that guy if you keep, say, Phil Hughes on every fifth day turn. And he said he's not tempted to do that. He likes what he's seen out of the fifth spot.
Hardball with Mike Berrettino. Brought to you by Nature's Fury NutraDrink. Every Monday through Friday afternoon at 5:30 with Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket. Back to Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Silly side of sports. Superstar Mike Morris, everybody.
Yes, indeed. Lead off with it. I got a little one myself. It's going to be pretty cool. I think you'll like it.
All right, here we go. Alina Hennessy. She's the most recent recipient of the AVN Award for Best Foreign Sex Scene, by the way. Just came up with an interesting proposition for Russian soccer player Alexander Korkin. She wants him to score 5 more goals before the end of the current Russian Premier League season. And if he does, she's promised him a day worth of fun. She said, quote, "If before the end of the Russian Premier League championship, Alexander Korkin scores 5 goals, I promise to hold a 16-hour sex marathon with him as a thank you."
Lucky.
Korkin,
I don't know. Any answers? Any replies from...
No.
Wow.
He said, "Oh, come on, that's disgusting." Here's a picture of her,
about
by
that?
The way.
Okay.
She seems like a nice lady.
It seems like a decent woman.
Seems like a very,
seems
very...
to me as if though she would probably just be a fun date.
A fun date. 16-hour marathon.
16 hours. What's wrong with her?
I don't know if I like her or not. I mean, her hair is too brown for me.
Is it too brown?
Hair is too brown.
The color are you looking for? By the way, you do realize that you're pigeonholing yourself by announcing what hair color you prefer.
No, I'm kidding. I love brown hairs. I'm joking.
Okay.
I love brown hairs. You go. Your turn.
I don't know if you call it a sport or not. I do. And besides, he was a defensive tackle for the Miami Hurricanes. Dwayne Johnson.
Oh.
The Rock.
Uh-huh.
Quite a diet. I don't know if you saw him on Saturday Night Live, and he was pretty good. I mean, he is really good at what he does. I mean, very entertaining, and that's what his business really all is all about. He was jacked up. I mean, I saw the whole thing. I mean, he is huge right now, and he's, it's because he's eating 10 pounds of food a day.
10 pounds, jeez.
A day, and he has figured this out. Someone's calculated that he's having, he's consuming 821 pounds of cod per year.
Ugh.
There's his picture.
Wow. Ripped.
Yeah, he's big. I mean, he's bigger than that, actually. I don't know when this picture was taken.
He's awfully veiny.
He is vain. He's very vain. Veiny.
Yeah.
Vascular. Yeah. But The Rock is looking good. I mean, and what a guy. He's dapper. He can talk.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
We don't care what you think. Love it. God, I love that.
Sillier Side of Sports brought to you by Bob Sansevier.
Love is not a word I throw around casually. When I say I love someone or something, I mean it. I love my wife, and I'm just being truthful here. I love the size of your manhood. Every night, I fall asleep on that part of your anatomy. So nice. So restful. Then in the middle of the night, crawl into bed with me and my wife, and I wake up because one of them has yanked my manhood. Oh. I just yank it back and go back to sleep. So nice. So restful. This is Bob Sansevier, and my wife and I have a question. For all you guys out there, would you like to crawl into bed with us? You need to get in touch with my erection. If you're interested in increasing your libido and the size of your manhood, call this special 800 number, 800-L-O-V-E, and get in touch with myerections.com. I love my erections, and you will too.
Thank you, Bob Sansevier. Sillier Side of Sports, an Indiana Little League coach has been accused of sexting and sending nude photos of herself to a 14-year-old shortstop on her team. Northwest Indiana Times reported that the 38-year-old Amy Casey was taken into custody on Thursday, charged with 4 counts of child solicitation and 2 counts of dissemination of matter harmful to minors, all of which are Class D felonies. Authorities claim Casey started texting a boy on the team where she works as an assistant coach back in May of 2014, and the relationship escalated quickly. Court documents show Casey of Westville area allegedly texted provocative and nude photos of herself to the boy's cell phone. She also repeatedly drove him to several games. The publication reports that although the relationship never reached the point of sexual intercourse, the woman allegedly promised the boy she wanted to engage in activities, and he touched her inappropriately at least on one instance. The kid tried to end the relationship, but he took her back after she started crying and telling him that she loved him. 14, 38, that's the age difference. In the end, the kid was afraid his mom would get mad at him and told her everything in turn. She called the cops. Amy is facing 3 years in jail.
Lock her up.
Yeah.
My gosh. Yeah. Crying and pretending to be all upset. Little kid's like feeling sorry for her or something. What a sick bird.
When 5-time defensive tackle Haloti Ngata was traded to the Detroit Lions,
yes,
it seems everyone knew except head coach Jim Caldwell.
He didn't know.
In a town hall meeting.
How do you not know that that's being discussed?
Well, in the town hall meeting with season ticket holders, Lion president Tom Lewand talked with fans about the handling of the trade with the Baltimore Ravens and said that only a handful of team officials knew, including the president of the team, the owner. Before the news broke, the head coach was not one of them. He found out on Twitter.
They have Jim Caldwell's reaction. I wonder how happy he was.
He wasn't very happy.
Well, I don't know why he wouldn't be. I mean, you get rid of Ndamukong Suh. I mean, you don't get rid of him, but he goes. He follows the money. I mean, to get Haloti Ngata to come in and take his place is a pretty good trade-out.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Yeah. One monster for another one.
Sillier Side of Sports, Craigslist, not normally the place you go to find high-end jewelry, but one seller is trying to change that perception, according to the New Orleans Times Pickawan. I don't even know, they have a different language down there. It's ridiculous. There's a Super Bowl ring for sale on Craigslist right
what?
Now. What? A New Orleans Saints Super Bowl ring, to be specific. They reportedly have narrowed down their list of four players based on the number 29 inscription on the ring. It's either defensive back Chris McAllister, former Viking Marcus McCauley, or Harana Days Jones, all sported the number along with a practice squad player named Glenn Sharp that season. Some have said McAllister is struggling with finances these days, and the seller is located in Georgia. McAllister played 10 NFL seasons. It was a big deal at one point. Once signed a contract for seven years and $55 million. So just a couple of years ago, it was reported by TMZ.com that he was broke and living with his parents.
He went right through it. He went all the way through that money. He spent it. I wonder what kind of parties he had. He played for the Ravens for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Long time.
He was back in the backfield with Ed Reed and I think even Primetime at the same time.
Primetime.
That's too bad. You hate to hear about that.
Primetime.
I don't think he managed his money very well.
No.
No. It's a shame.
True. Wilder off tonight. Timberwolves play tonight, 9 o'clock, if you can stay up that late. Fox Sports North, they're probably going to lose. Portland Trail Blazers. Another nooner tomorrow for the Minnesota Twins, and then another big game for the Minnesota Wild. They've clinched a playoff berth, but they'll be in Nashville tomorrow night. So enjoy your night off.
Yes, indeed.
Go have a beautiful day with your wonderful wife.
We've got a date night scheduled tonight.
And I'll see you tomorrow.
Hang out and go have some food and get on home and get ready for the show the next day with you.
That sucks for you.
That's the best ever. It's the best ever. Let's do the true superstar, though. I've got one selected already, and this guy is, he looks like a tough, tough customer. What a brave soldier he looks to be. Army Captain David E. Van Camp. 29 years of age. Wheeling, West Virginia. Assigned to the 2nd Squadron, 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment. Fort Hood, Texas. He died June 29th, 2011. In Kut, Iraq. Of wounds that he suffered when enemy forces attacked him and his unit with indirect fire. And you want to talk about a shot of a soldier. That is a soldier. Wearing the cavalry hat. Army Captain David E. Van Camp is the true superstar for today. Remember him if you would.